الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. I'd like to begin this evening in our second lecture since returning to our study of Tafsir al-Allam, the sharh or explanation of Umdatul Ahkam by Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih al-Bassam, hafizahullah. We began last week upon our return with the chapter Bab Sujood al-Sahwa. Bab Sujood al-Sahwa. That is the prostrations that are performed due to forgetfulness or unmindfulness. Yani to correct any mistakes in the salat. And we said last week that this sahwa, it is due to forgetfulness or to leaving off something or doing something unmindfully. And there is no blame on the person who does so unmindfully, forgetfully or mistakenly. It is human. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that in the hadith which is reported by Ibn Majah and others, and it was declared to be sahih by many of the scholars of the past and present, the hadith in which it is reported that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَضَعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed the responsibility or pardoned from my ummah the mistakes, the forgetfulness, and that which they do out of compulsion. We mentioned last week the description of sujood al-sahwa, and we said that it consists of two prostrations, either before or after the greeting of assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, either before or after the taslim. And those prostrations are performed with takbir for prostrating, takbir for rising up, takbir for prostrating the second time, and takbir for rising up, ending with a taslim, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We also said that the reasons or the causes for sajda sahwa are three: either an addition, ziyada, something that's not originally a part of the salat that we added to it mistakenly, or naqs, yani leaving off something, some shortcoming in the salat, something that we left out mistakenly or unmindfully, or through a shak, yani being in doubt, doubtfulness in our salat, having doubt about something we have done or not done, or the number of rak'ah that we have performed, etc. We also mentioned last week two hadith, one concerning the sajda or the sujood al-sahwa that's performed after the taslim, and one hadith concerning the sujood al-sahwa that's performed before the taslim. And before reviewing those two hadith and going on to the remaining hadith to complete this topic of sujood al-sahwa, I just wanted to mention, number one, two of the important references that you may refer to for further information and a more complete look at the authentic hadith related to sujood al-sahwa. The authentic hadith concerning this are not limited to these sources, but these are the two most important sources, that is the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Muslim. These hadith are found concerning sujood al-sahwa in Sahih Al-Bukhari, In the original or the old printing of Sahih al-Bukhari, not the new one that was just recently printed, but in the one that is widespread, in volume 2 of Sahih al-Bukhari, pages 177 to 185. And the hadith which he mentions in this section of Sujood al-Sahwa are from number 315 to 328. Please read those hadith, they are of utmost importance. Also in the Sahih of Muslim, the original printing of Sahih Muslim, the one that is widespread, the translation of Abdul Hamid Siddiq, it is in volume 1 of Sahih Muslim, pages 282 through 286. And those hadith are numbered 1159 to 1188. So these are two of the important references. Also there are other hadith which are authentic concerning Sujood al-Sahwa, but of course they are scattered throughout many, many books, and these two books, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, are available, and they are the most authentic of hadith, so we refer to them to the exclusion of others, though there are other books of hadith containing authentic narrations about this topic. So the hadith that we mentioned last week, the first of them is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. That hadith was narrated from Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, the great imam and scholar of the Tabi'een. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he reported the hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Who said, صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إحدى صلاتي العشي. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم led us in one of the two evening prayers. That is Al-Asr or Al-Zuhur. يعني really, the meaning of this word عشي, it means from the beginning of the decline of the sun until sunset. يعني between noon and sunset. One of those two prayers, Al-Asr or Al-Zuhur. Then he said, يعني ابن سيرين, the narrator from Abu Hurairah said, وَسَمَّاهَا أَبُو هُرَيْرَ وَلَكِنْ نَسِيتُ أَنَا. Abu Hurairah named the particular prayer that it was, but I, يعني Muhammad ibn Sirin said, I forgot which one he said, was it الظهر or العصر. Then he said, فَصَلَّ بِنَا رَكَعْتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمْ. The Prophet ﷺ prayed two rak'ah with us, and then he made taslim. After he made two rak'ah for Dhuhr Asr, then he made taslim saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. فَقَامَ إِلَى خَشَبَةٍ مَعْرُودَةٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Then he stood up and leaned on a piece of wood that was in the front of the masjid. فَتَّكَأَ عَلَيْهَا فَكَأَنَّهُ غَضْبَانٌ. He stood there leaning on the piece of wood as though he was angry or upset about something. وَوَضَعَ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَ عَلَى الْيُسْرَى. And he put his right hand on his left hand, according to this narration in Umdat al-Ahkam. وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. And this also is not mentioned in the narration that we have in front of us from Sahih Muslim. And he intertwined his fingers together of his hands in this manner. وَخَرَجَتْ سَرْعَانْ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ فَقَالُوا أَقُصِرَتْ الصَّلَاةِ. The people who usually rush out of the masjid quickly, they went out of the masjid saying, has the prayer been shortened? And amongst them, وَفِي الْقَوْمِ أَبُو بَكْرُ وَعُمَرُ فَهَابَ أَنْ يُكَلِّمَاهُ. Amongst those people was Abu Bakr and Umar, but they feared out of awe of the Prophet ﷺ to speak about the matter. وَفِي الْقَوْمِ رَجُلٌ. And also amongst the people was a man, فِي يَدَيْهِ طُول يُقَالُ لَهُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنَفِيتَ أَمْ قُصِرَتْ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, this man, ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, have you forgotten or has the prayer been shortened? فَقَالَ لَمْ أَنْتَ وَلَمْ تُقْصَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not forgotten nor has the prayer been shortened. And in some of the narrations, it is reported that إِنَّ ذَلْيَدَيْنِ قَالَ لَهُ بَلْ قَدْ نَسِيتْ أو بَلْ نَسِيتْ. يعني that at that point, ذُلْ يَدَيْنِ رضي الله عنه was sure that the Prophet ﷺ had forgotten. If the prayer had not been shortened, then it was in fact a case of forgetfulness, because he had prayed the Dhuhr Asr prayer as two rak'ah, therefore he had forgotten. فقال, then the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, أَتَمَا يَقُولُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ قَالُوا نَعَمْ. He said, is it as he said, And the people said, yes, it is, as he said. يعني that the prayer was performed short. فتقدم فصلى ما ترك ثم سلم ثم كبر ثم سجد مثل سجوده أو أطول. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stepped forward and prayed the remaining rak'ah that he had left out, and then he made taslim. And he prayed the remaining rak'ah and then made taslim. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That means he prayed the two rak'ah which he missed, and then he made taslim, ending the salat. And after that taslim, he made sujood as-sahwa. ثَمَّ كَبَّرَ وَسَجَدَ مِثْلَ سُجُودِهِ أَوْ أَتْوَالِ. Then he made takbir and prostrated, similar to the prostration that he normally made in the prayer, or longer. ثُمَّ رَفَى رَأْسَهُ فَكَبَّرَ. Then he raised his hand saying, Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ كَبَّرَ وَسَجَدَ مِثْلَ سُجُودِهِ أَوْ أَتْوَالِ. Then he made takbir again saying, Allahu Akbar, prostrating, like his normal prostration in the prayer, or longer. ثُمَّ رَفَى رَأْسَهُ وَكَبَّرَ فَرُبَّمَا سَأَلُوهُ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. يعني ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ قَالَ فَنُبِعْتُ أَنَّ عِمْرَانِ بِالْحُسَيْنِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنْهُ قَالَ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. يعني here at this point, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made prostration saying Allahu Akbar, and rose up saying Allahu Akbar, making two prostrations. And in some of the narrations it said, some of the people asked the narrator, that is Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. Then he made taslim, yani he didn't mention the taslim to them. They said, did he then make taslim? And then it was brought to his attention, he was reminded that one of the narrators of this hadith, that is Imran ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhu, in fact did say that at that point, after the two prostrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made taslim. So in this hadith we find that what was added to the prayer is that he made an extra taslim. He made the first taslim at the end of two rak'ah, which he thought was the end of the prayer mistakenly, and then when he performed two more rak'ah to complete the prayer, he made the regular taslim for the salat, meaning that he made two taslims. That means he has added something to the salat, and therefore he made the sujood as-sahwa after the end of the prayer, after taslim. And when something is added to the prayer, as is indicated in this hadith, when something extra is added to the prayer, the sujood as-sahwa is made after taslim. After making taslim for the completion of the prayer, you make sujood as-sahwa and another taslim for the sujood as-sahwa. The Shaykh mentions here a lot of points, and quickly we'll just go through them just to get it back in our memory before we complete this topic. Of those rulings or points that are derived from this hadith, al-ahkam al-mustanbita min al-hadith, he said the permissibility of even the Prophet alayhi salam to make or to forget in something, not in the message that they deliver, but in their actions, and then Allah wouldn't leave them in that mistake, but He would correct them in it. As here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was corrected. Number two, that of the wisdoms or the secrets that are related to as-sujood, as-sahwa, is that it was a clarification of the sharia. Yani how the person is required by the Islamic law to act when they made a mistake in the prayer, forgetfulness, adding, deleting something, etc. Also, it was a lightening of the burden and a mercy upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in case of their forgetfulness. And sujood sahwa is a mercy to us in that we are able to correct our prayer if we have forgotten something simply by making these two prostrations of forgetfulness. Also, that if someone gets out of the salat before it's completed, yani unaware, thinking that they have completed the prayer, then the prayer is not cut off by going out of the prayer. Yani the prayer may be returned to, and you may continue the prayer where you left off when you are reminded or when you remember, only completing that which had been uncompleted. Yani if somebody prayed two rak'ah, as did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this case, and then finished the prayer, made taslim and got out of the prayer, it's permissible to return to the prayer and not to repeat the prayer from the beginning, but to build on that which was done and complete it with that which is missing. Also, that speaking during the prayer forgetfully does not invalidate the prayer. As it happened in this case, the Prophet ﷺ, as well as the Sahaba, Dhul Yadayn, and others, spoke And they were actually in the middle of the prayer, because they had only performed two rak'ah, and then they returned to complete their prayer, so that speaking forgetfully does not invalidate the prayer. Also, that the prayer, or to go back to that which was done previously and to complete it with that which was forgotten, even if there is a long space in between, does not invalidate the prayer. As in this narration, at least there was some discussions. People left the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ was standing, appearing to be angry or worried, and there was discussion with him, and finally he went back to the prayer. And in some other narrations, it's reported that he prayed three rak'ah and went into his home. And someone came behind him and called him and brought his attention, and he returned to the masjid and completed that which he had left off. So that even a long space in between the prayer doesn't invalidate the prayer. Except if a person remembers the next day or something like this, then it's better to repeat the prayer, and Allah knows best. Also, he mentions that moving in the salat, making some kind of movement that's not part of the that's not normally part of the prayer, due to ignorance of the fact that this is not allowed, or due to forgetfulness, also does not invalidate the prayer. If somebody moves in the prayer, makes any movement that's not part of the prayer, forgetfully, unaware, or unknowingly that it's not allowed to do so, it does not invalidate the prayer. Also, the obligation of making two prostrations for forgetfulness, for the one who has done something unmindfully, whether adding or leaving off something in the prayer, to correct it, to correct that prayer, two prostrations are required. It is wajib, obligatory, to correct the prayer, and also to humiliate the shaitan, who is the one who caused the person to forget. Yani shaitan, when we enter the prayer, tries to cause us to be occupied, to distract us, or to cause us to forget, to cause any defect in our prayer. So these prostrations, sujood as-sahwa, yani if the person performs them, then they have defeated shaitan and humiliated him. And also, if there is more than one cause for sujood as-sahwa in one prayer, the person made more than one mistake, adding something, or deleting something on another occasion, or forgetting something, or becoming doubtful about the prayer, then only one performance of sujood as-sahwa is required. Yani two prostrations, one time. As is indicated in this hadith, yani, and in other hadith, yani, where it actually happened that the Prophet ﷺ forgot more than one thing. Also, that sujood as-sahwa is to be performed after the salutation or the taslim of saying assalamu alaikum, if the person has, it should be performed before, he said, if the person has left off something. Yani, they have deleted something from the prayer. And it should be performed he says, ba'd as-salam, na'am, idha sallam an-naqs. According to the Hanbali madhab, he said that sujood sahwa should be performed after the salam, if the person has left off something, and before the salam in other cases. But in fact, the majority of the scholars, and the most correct opinion, is that whoever has added something to the prayer, the sujood as-sahwa should be performed after finishing the prayer, after taslim. And whoever has left off something from the prayer, it should be performed before the taslim. We will discuss this a little further when we finish the hadith that we are going to discuss today. And the general rule is that it's performed after, and this is, as some of the scholars said, based on the hadith of Thawban, which he related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لِكُلِّ سَحْوٍ تَجْدَتَانْ بَعْدَ مَا يُسَلِّمْ. Yani for every case of forgetfulness or unmindfulness in the prayer, it requires two prostrations which are performed after making taslim. And the general rule is that it's after taslim, but as we will see, that there's a general rule also, I mean there's some specific rules coming under this general rule, and when there's something added, it's done after, when there's something left off, it's done before, and if it is due to doubtfulness, it may be before or after. We will discuss this inshallah in the end. Also, he mentioned here that the tashahud, after the two prostrations of sahwa, yani that it is not authentically reported to make tashahud. Yani when a person has finished the prayer and they make two prostrations for sahwa, they shouldn't make tashahud again. before making taslim. Yani it has not been authentically reported, although some of the scholars held this opinion due to some hadith which are narrated as such, and some of those hadith appear to be correct or authentic hadith, but the correct opinion about them is that they are shadh. Yani they have the appearance of being authentic, but in fact they are not. And there are long discussions about this in the books of hadith. There's no way for us to discuss them in full at this time. But in any case, the most correct opinion is that those narrations which report at tashahud are not authentic. This is the strongest opinion, as it has been mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and also of the contemporary scholars. It was mentioned by Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani in his book of Taqrij al-Hadith Irwa al-Ghareem. The second hadith, which we mentioned last week, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, which you have in front of you, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, mentions the performance of taslim before, or the performance of sujood as-sahwa before making taslim. And in the previous hadith mentions it after, because something extra was added, an extra taslim. And here, something was left out. In the case that something is left out, the sujood as-sahwa should be performed before the taslim. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Buhayna rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, and he was one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla bihim al-zuhr faqama fi rakatayni al-ulayayni walam yajlif. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them in the zuhr prayer, and then he stood up after performing two rak'ah, and he didn't sit, and he didn't make the sitting in the second rak'ah, in which the tashahud is normally recited. He didn't sit, and obviously he didn't recite at tashahud. Two things. He left out the sitting, and he left out the recitation of tashahud that is performed in that sitting. فَقَامَ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ حَتَّى إِذَا قَضَى الصَّلَاةِ وَانْتَظَرَ النَّاسُ تَسْلِيمَهُ كَبَّرَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ. So the people, when he stood up, they realized that he was supposed to sit, but they followed him. He stood up, so they stood up with him until when he was about to finish the prayer, and the people were waiting for him to make taslim. They were waiting for him to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, kabbara wa huwa jalis. He made takbir instead while he was sitting. Instead of making taslim, he made takbir. فَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَن يُسَلِّمْ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. يعني at that point when they were expecting him to make taslim, he made takbir and he prostrated, making two prostrations before making taslim, before finishing out the prayer with the taslim to the right and the left. And then after those two prostrations, ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. Then he made taslim. This is an example of something being left out of the prayer. In that case, the sujood, the sahwa, is performed before the taslim. And also, as you notice, there is no mention of tashahud in either of these hadith, both of them being recorded by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. From this hadith, the Shaykh mentions a number of points. From amongst them, he says from this hadith, we understand the obligation of sujood as-sahwa for the one who has forgotten something in the prayer or left out something, like at-tashahud al-awwal, the first tashahud, yani in the second rak'ah of the prayer. Also, from this hadith, we understand that at-tashahud is not a rukun. It is not a pillar of the salat. Because if it was a pillar, then you cannot finish the prayer without repeating that rukun which was left. But if it was one of the wajibat, obligatory parts, you can correct it by making sujood as-sahwa. So this is the proof that at-tashahud al-awwal is not a rukun of the prayer. Otherwise, it would not have been corrected simply by performing sujood as-sahwa. Number three, in this hadith we also understand that the performance of more than one mistake in the salat doesn't require two performances of sujood as-sahwa, but simply two prostrations, once for the sujood as-sahwa, for two or more mistakes, as in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ didn't recite at tashahud, nor did he sit for the recitation of tashahud. Also from this hadith we understand the importance of following the imam, since the Prophet ﷺ didn't criticize or scold the people for following him in standing up. He stood up forgetfully, but they knew that he had left off the tashahud, and they followed him, and he didn't tell them, don't follow the imam if you know he made a mistake. Yani this means that he approved of the people following the Imam. Even if he made a mistake, this shows the importance of following the Imam. And the proof that they knew is, as we mentioned in the hadith reported by An-Nasa'i and Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim, that the people said, Subhanallah, when they saw him standing up. Subhanallah. No, indicating that they were aware. But the Prophet ﷺ continued in the prayer until he got to the end of it. Also, he mentioned that the forgetfulness of the Imam is, yani the people fall under the same ruling. Yani he did something forgetfulness, so he is excused because he did it out of forgetfulness. But those people who are following him didn't do it out of forgetfulness. And that means if someone intentionally did that, it would invalidate their prayer. But the people fall under the ruling of the Imam. If the Imam did it out of forgetfulness and they followed him, then it is as though they also come under the same ruling of forgetfulness. And when he made the sujood at sahwa, they also made it along with him. Also that the sujood at sahwa in this kind of situation, and it was something was left out of the prayer, specifically the sitting for tashahud and the recitation for tashahud, it should be done before making taslim. And when something is left out, it's performed before. Whereas when something is added, it's performed after. And the last point he said is that the salam, that means the taslim, follows immediately the two prostrations of sahw. And there shouldn't be any space or time between them for a tashahud or for any dua. And if there's no indication or any authentic hadith that there is the recitation of tashahud after the two prostrations of sujood sahwa, nor any dua, but as soon as the person finished those two prostrations, immediately they should make taslim. Now, these are the hadith that we took last week, and the hadith that we have, the extra hadith to complete the topic, because this is the end of what the Shaykh mentioned. He only mentioned two hadith, one concerning the sujood sahwa after taslim, when something was added, and one concerning the sujood sahwa before taslim, when something was left out. So, we want to mention some other hadith which help to clarify the total picture of sujood sahwa. Since the Shaykh didn't mention any more, we have collected some hadith from other sources in order to get the fuller benefit from this topic. The first hadith is a hadith which unfortunately I didn't have time to find and to give to you, but in any case it's a general hadith. It doesn't indicate before or after, it's just a hadith related to sujood as-sahwa. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, in ahadukum idha qama yusalli wajahu shaytan falabbasa alayhi hatta la yadri kam salla fa'idha wajada ahadukum dhalika falyasjud tajdataini wa huwa jalis. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is recorded by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that verily when one of you stands up to perform his prayer, shaitan will come to him and perhaps cause confusion in his mind until he doesn't know how much he has prayed. He doesn't know what he has prayed. So if any one of you finds himself in that situation, then he must tell yasjud sajdatain wa huwa jalis. Then he must pray or perform two prostrations while he is sitting. This is a general hadith that makes us to know that the cause for our forgetfulness is shaitan, and also makes us to know that when we have any forgetfulness in the prayer, that it's obligatory on us to make sajda or sujood as-sahwa. The second hadith is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. It is mentioned here under the extra hadith, hadith number 2. The hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is concerning the matter of doubtfulness, and when someone is in doubt about what has happened in the prayer, and we said that the doubt in the prayer, it can be corrected either by the sujood sahwa before the taslim or after the taslim according to the situation. The first hadith, the hadith which is mentioned here, number 2 of the extra hadith concerning shak or doubt in the prayer, from Ata ibn Yasar, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. This hadith has been reported by Imam Malik Mursalan, yani without mentioning Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, from the narrator from him, Ata ibn Yasar. directly from the Prophet ﷺ, which means there's a break in the chain. But it has also been reported authentically, mentioning Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and that narration is reported in the Sahih of Muslim. In the Sahih of Muslim, it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري كم صلى ثلاثا أو أربعا فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم. And if any one of you has doubt in his prayer and he doesn't know how much he has prayed, 3 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah, then he should reject or push back his doubt and he should continue his prayer based on that which he is certain about, yani that which he is sure about. If he is not sure 3 or 4, at least he is sure that he prayed at least 3. Okay, to remove this doubt, remove the doubt by continuing your prayer based on what you are sure about, al-yaqeen. You know it's 3 or 4 but you are not sure which one, then go with that which you are sure about. And then pray 2 or perform 2 prostrations qabla an yusallim, yani before making taslim. This is in the case when the person has doubt about how many rak'ah they have prayed and they cannot determine which of those 2 possibilities is the more likely. They couldn't in their mind determine that I'm relatively sure, yani it's more certain that it was 3 or it's more certain that it was 4, but they couldn't, yani, take anyone as being yani more probable. They are in doubt, completely in doubt. In that case, they should go with the lesser number, that which they are certain about, at least the yaqeen. And in that case, when they are in that situation, the sujood as-sahwa should be performed before making taslim. He goes on to say in this hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّ خَمْسًا شَفَعْنَا لَهُ صَلَاتَهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّ إِتْمَامًا لِأَرْبَعَ كَانَتَا تَرْغِيمًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ. He said, so that if the person in that situation had prayed 5 rak'ah, yani because they based it on the lesser number, but in fact they had prayed the higher number, and they ended up praying 5 rak'ah, then the sujood, the sahwa, will even out the number of rak'ah, will make it even. And if, in fact, it was the lower number that they had performed, and by making the sujood as-sahwa, it would, yani, they prayed the prayer as 4 rak'ah, in fact, not adding any extra rak'ah to it, then the sujood as-sahwa would be as an humiliation for shaitan. And if they ended up praying an extra rak'ah, the sujood as-sahwa will make it even. And if they had actually prayed only 4 rak'ah, yani, in fact, they had prayed 3 and then they made another one, making it 4 even, then the sujood as-sahwa will be as a humiliation of shaitan. There is another hadith also that is of importance. This is a reference to doubt in which the person cannot determine which of the 2 possibilities is more likely. The other hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. In this case, in this hadith, it is mentioned also that there is doubt, but in this case the person performed the sujood as-sahwa after the taslim instead of before. It's reported that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فليتحرى الصواب. يعني if any one of you is in doubt about his prayer, then he should seek to determine which one of them is more correct. And he should follow, and he should try to determine that which appears to be the most correct. Try to ascertain which one of the 2 possibilities is more correct. فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ, then he should complete the prayer based on that which he determined to be the more correct of the 2 possibilities, the one that is more probable. He should complete the prayer based on that. And if he determined that it was more probable that it was 3, he should pray 1 more rak'ah completing the prayer. If he determined that it was more probable that it was 2, then he should pray 2 more rak'ah based on the more probable of the 2 possibilities, and then complete his prayer based on that. ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمْ, then he should make taslim. After completing his prayer, he makes taslim. وَيَسْجُدْ سجدتين, then he should make two prostrations, the sujood, as-sahwa, yani after the taslim. This is the case of doubt, but in this case the person was able to determine the more likely of the two probabilities. Whereas in the first hadith, the person wasn't able to determine one of them being more weightier than the other. Both of them were equally possible, and they couldn't make any determination. In that case, you take the lower number, the one that you are certain, without a doubt, that at least it was that one, and in that case you make the taslim. In that case, the taslim is made before, and in this case, the taslim is made after. So there are two possibilities of doubt. In one, the person is unable to determine which of the two probabilities are more likely. The taslim should be made before, or the sujood sahwa should be made before. And in the case when you're able to determine which one is more likely, or which one is more correct, then the taslim is made after. Here, these hadith are from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, but I have taken them because there is some commentary in one of the books of the great scholars of hadith, Al-Imam Al-Baghawi, who died in the beginning of the 6th century in the year 516, and he has a very important book of hadith called Sharh As-Sunnah, Sharh As-Sunnah, which contains many, many authentic hadith, not only from Bukhari and Muslim, but from the other collections of hadith, and also contains many of the sayings of Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the scholars of fiqh and the Imams of hadith. Here Al-Imam Al-Baghawi rahimahullah mentions concerning, after narrating these hadith, he mentions concerning sujood as-sahwa the following. He says that as for the place in which the sujood as-sahwa is performed, yani before or after the taslim, he said the hadith concerning this reported different things, sometimes before and sometimes after. As for that which was narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and that which was narrated by Abdullah ibn Buhayna, then they reported, and also the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, which we didn't mention, they reported that the sujood as-sahwa is before the taslim. As for that which was narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and that which was narrated from Abu Huraira, yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrated the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 5 rak'ah. That hadith we didn't mention, but it's here. It's the hadith number 1 of the extra hadith, which we didn't reach in the book. But in any case, Abdul Mas'ud narrated that hadith, and also the hadith of Abu Hurairah, in which the Prophet ﷺ made 2 rak'ah and then made taslim, and then when he was informed, he came back and made 2 more rak'ah and a second taslim. This, in these cases, something was added to the prayer, and therefore he made the sujood as-sahwa after the taslim. Based on these varying hadith, some mentioning before and some mentioning after, he said also the scholars, or the madahib of fiqh, they also differed. Most of the scholars of Medina, including Yahya ibn Sa'id, Rabia, and others besides them, held that the sujood, as-sahwa, should be performed before the taslim, and this is the opinion of al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and also other scholars from the scholars of hadith. The second opinion that he mentions here, this one is those who said before. He said that also there were other scholars, such as Sufyan al-Thawri and Ashab al-Ra'i, that is the people of the Hanafi Madhab, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and his students, held that the taslim should be performed according to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud after the taslim. Yani they held the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the important or significant hadith, and then he narrated the sujood sahwa after the taslim. So they held that opinion and they followed that opinion, and they said sujood sahwa should be after taslim. The first two opinions, the opinion of Imam Shafi, he held that it should be before, and the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa held that it should be after. The third opinion which he mentions here is an important opinion, is the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah, in which he gives some details. Imam Malik says that if the sujood as-sahwa, it was performed due to adding something to the prayer, as we found in some hadith where something was added, he said if it's due to adding something to the prayer, then it should be performed after, after the taslim. Okay, he's giving a detailed explanation. The first two opinions was that it should always be before or always be after. Imam Malik, he looked at all of the hadith and tried to use all of them. He said that if something was added, then it should be performed before taslim. This is based on the hadith of the man Dhul-Yadayn, who reminded the Prophet ﷺ that he had only performed two rakah, and in that case something was added. What was added? He made two taslims. That's the hadith that's reported by Abu Huraira. The first hadith, hadith number 101. Imam Malik then says, but if the forgetfulness was due to leaving out something, like leaving out the tashahud, in that case the sujood, the sahwa, should be performed before taslim, and this is based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna. That is the second hadith which we mentioned, hadith number 102. So far Imam Malik is looking at all of the hadith and trying to make a determination, each one how it should be used. Then he said that every hadith which has been reported concerning sujood the sahwa, it should be applied in its place. And if there was a hadith where the Prophet left out something and he made the sujood the sahwa before taslim, then we should apply it like that. And if there was another hadith where he added something, like he made two taslims in the salat, and in that case he performed it after, then we should apply that hadith and perform it after in that case. Yani every hadith should be applied in the way that it came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that if someone left off tashahud, as in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, then leaving off something, the taslim is before. If, for example, something was added, as in the other hadith which we didn't mention yet, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and that's hadith number one of the extra hadith, five rak'ah the Prophet ﷺ performed. He said when something is added, like in that case, then the taslim should be performed after. Also, he mentions the hadith of Abu Hurairah from Muhammad ibn Sirin, the first hadith, hadith number 101. He said that if in that case where two rak'ah were performed and then taslim, in which case an extra taslim was made after the two rak'ah which were left out were performed, then in that case the taslim is performed after, then we should do likewise. Here Imam Malik has given us the application or the reconciliation or combination of the hadith. Those which came before should be applied before, and those which came after should be done after. This was also the saying or the opinion of Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, the Shaykh of Al-Bukhari, rahimahumullah. As for those hadith which there is no narration concerning, or those incidents where there is no narration, something happened, forgetfulness, adding or leaving off something, we didn't find any hadith reported from the Prophet ﷺ concerning that matter, then what should we do? Here he says, in that case where we didn't find any narration from the Prophet ﷺ concerning a particular action being added or left out, in that case, Imam Ahmed said that the sujood sahwa should be before the taslim, and Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway said that it depends. It depends. If there's no mention in the hadith concerning that incident, if it is adding something, then we'll do like the cases where there was something reported from the Prophet when something was added, then he did it after. So if an incident takes place where something is added but there's no hadith concerning it, then we make qiyas. As the Prophet saw somebody added something, he did it after, then in those cases where there's no hadith concerning them but something is added, Ishaq ibn Rahway said that we should do it after. And if something was left out, then we compare it to the hadith which we know where the Prophet ﷺ left out something and he did it before, then likewise we should do it before. Concerning doubt, there are two cases of doubt he mentions here. The doubt in which a person is able to determine the more likely of the two possibilities, the more correct of the two possibilities, in that case the person should determine which one it is, and then based on what they determined, they should finish the prayer based on whichever one they think is more correct. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. In that case, where they are able to determine which one is more correct, they should make the sajda sahwa after taslim. And in the case where they are not able to determine which one is more correct, then they take the lesser number, al-yaqeen, that they are certain at least that the lower number they have performed, and complete the prayer based on that and make the sajda sahwa before the taslim. Here we have, we can say in summary concerning this, that if there is any incident that's reported in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ made sujood sahwa before, we should do it before. If he made it after, we should do it after. But in the case where there's no incident, or that incident hasn't been mentioned in hadith, then we should look at whether or not something has been added. In that case, we make it after, as the Prophet ﷺ did when he added something. And if something has been left out, then we make it before, as the Prophet ﷺ did concerning that. When there is doubt, there are at least two cases. One, where the person is able to determine the more likely of the two probabilities as which one is more correct. In that case, the sujood sahwa is made after taslim. And when they are unable to determine which one is more likely, then they take the lower number and complete the prayer based on that and make it before taslim. This is a summary of the cases of sujood sahwa, when something is added, something is left out, or when a person is in doubt. The last hadith which I want to mention, which is here on the sheet, and Imam al-Baghawi mentions that hadith, is the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and that hadith is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla al-zuhr khamsan, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed the zuhr prayer as 5 raka'ah. Faqeela lahu azida fi salat, it was said to him, has the prayer been increased, from 4 raka'ah to 5 raka'ah? Faqala ma dhaka, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, it hasn't happened. قالوا صليت خمسا, they said, but you have prayed 5 raka. فسجد سجدتين بعدما سلم. So the Prophet ﷺ in that case performed the sujood al-sahwa, 2 prostrations, بعدما سلم, after making taslim. Here again, this is an example of something being added, and in that case the taslim or the sujood sahwa is made after taslim. These are the examples or the most important hadith that's reported primarily by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and these are opinions of some of the scholars concerning this, the opinion of the imams, the 4 imams. Al-Imam Ahmed is similar in his opinion to Imam Malik, in general, but Imam Malik, his opinion seemed to be the closest to strictly being in accord with the hadith, in which he said, and also Ishaq ibn Rahway, which he said that whatever has been reported in the hadith, we follow it as it was. Whatever there is no case in the hadith found, then if it was something added, then we make it after, and if it was something left out, we make it before the taslim. And when you're in doubt, there are 2 cases. One of them, when we are able to determine the more likely of the 2 possibilities, in which the sujood sahwa is performed after taslim, and in the case where we are not able to determine which one is more likely, in that case we take the lower number, which we are certain that we have performed at least that number, complete the prayer based on it, and make the sujood sahwa before the taslim. There is also a summary of this matter mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, in which he outlines the cases in which sujood sahwa is performed before, or when it's performed after, and when there is doubt. As we just mentioned, perhaps this summary also may be looked at. First, perhaps we'll see if there are any questions, or corrections or comments. Otherwise, we'll just take this quick review or this summary from Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book concerning sujood sahwa and the rules and regulations concerning it as the closing and the end of this topic. If there are any questions or any comments, there should be some questions at least, because no doubt the issue of sujood sahwa is one of the most difficult topics related to the salat. It is one of the most difficult topics the opinions of the scholars are many. The cases which are not mentioned in hadith are also many, which left the scholars to make ijtihad. Since there is no text for many types of situations that happen in the salat, then many of the scholars made ijtihad. Some of them saying that the easiest solution was to make all of the sujood sahwa before taslim, and some of them the opposite, saying it after, and some of them combining the hadith dealing with before and after and trying to give some further clarification. Some of them making qiyas on those hadith which mention something being added or left out, so that if something was added, the sujood is made after, and if something is left out, the sujood is made before. But in any case, it requires some review and careful examination of the hadith, looking at those cases where something was added or something was left out, and also examining the cases of doubt, where one is able to determine the more likely of two possibilities, and where one is not able to determine the more likely of two possibilities. And this generally covers the issue of sujood as-sahwa. And some of the scholars said, it is an important topic due to the fact that the human being is subject to make mistakes and to be forgetful or unmindful, and therefore every Muslim, especially those who lead the prayers, the imams, needs to know. Some people are performing sujood as-sahwa when there is no need for it, and some people are not performing it when it is obligatory to do so, and some people are doing it before when it should be after, or after when it should be before. And for this reason, it's important that we study this topic and try to examine it carefully, so that at least the basic rules concerning it are known to us, so that it benefits us in our own individual prayers, and perhaps also we may also benefit others with it. Are there any comments or any questions? No. One raka? No. It happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He made two raka, and after he finished the prayer, the people, some of them left the masjid, questioning themselves, what had happened? Has the prayer been shortened? And some of them remained in their places. And finally, one of them stood up and decided to ask, what has happened? He asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has the prayer been decreased, or have you forgotten? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are having a conversation. They are talking, as you said now. He said, I haven't forgotten, nor has the prayer been decreased. Then that man said to him, well, in fact, if the prayer has not been decreased, then in fact you have forgotten. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at the people, and he asked them, is it as he said? And they said, yes, it is. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went back in front of the people, facing the Qibla, and performed two rak'ah that he had left out. And then he made the taslim, and then he made sujood as-sahwa and taslim. That means that if the imam talks to the people and the people talk to the imam, it's permissible to return to the prayer after that time that has elapsed, and discussion between them, and complete the prayer from what was made before, completing that which was left out. Naam. In between? Naam. They're sitting between two sujood. It has to be. It is normal. The sujood, the Prophet, they said that the Prophet ﷺ, in this case, he made sujood like he used to make the sujood in the prayer, or longer. That means that his sujood that he made for sujood as-sahwa, it was like the sujood, or it was like he was performing his normal prayer, or if anything, it was longer. So that the sujood as-sahwa is performed just as you are making prayer, the same, with no difference. Sitting between two prostrations, just as you do in the normal prayer. Now. No. you are late in the prayer, and the people finished their prayer. You stand up to complete your prayer, but you forgot how many you have to make up. Now. Naam, the Imam finished the prayer, but now you are performing your prayer. When you are with the Imam, you are following the Imam. But when the Imam finished, now you are on your own. If you make any mistake in the prayer, you have to correct it. If you forgot, you have to correct it. If you don't know how many you made, then you have to try to determine, think. Did I make only one rak'ah with the Imam, or two, or three? If you are not sure, is it two or three that you made with him, then you take the lower number. You say, I made only two with him. That means if it was Dhuhr, you have to make two more. If it was Maghrib, you have to make one more, and so on. Okay? But in this case, when you are not sure, which one? Did I make with the Imam two or three? You take the lower number, which you are certain about, and complete the prayer based on the lower number, and in that case, you make the sujood, the sahwa, before the taslim. Whereas, if you are in doubt about how many you made, but you are able to determine after thinking, you said, that's right, I made two with the Imam. I am sure now. Well, how are you sure? You are relatively sure because you remember. You remember that when you joined the Imam, for example, they were making tashahud. You sat with them, and then you stood up, and you only get credit for two rak'ah. The two after the first sitting for tashahud. So you are relatively sure. In that case, you will say, I am sure that it was two rak'ah I made with them. Or in any other way you are able to determine, that, but you are sure how many you made. In that case, you will complete the prayer based on the more probable of the two likelihoods. You are relatively certain that it was two rak'ah, then you will make the prayer based on that. Complete the prayer, one more rak'ah if it was Maghrib, two more rak'ah if it was Dhuhr or Asr, Naam or Isha. And then after that, you will make the sajda sahwa after the taslim. Yani in the case where the person is relatively sure that one of those two are more likely, is more probable, then they should go with that which they think is more correct, complete the prayer based on that, and make the sujood, the sahwa, after taslim. When they are unsure, they make it before taslim. When they are relatively sure, they make it after taslim. And Allah knows best. Is there any other question or comment? In any case, this issue of sujood or sahwa, believe me, it is really a difficult topic. Many of the topics that we took before, for the most part, concerning the salat, are relatively clear. There's only one issue related to a particular thing, and you study that issue and the evidences, and you know what's correct, and you do it. But in sujood or sahwa, there are so many factors. It can be before, it can be after, it can be adding, it can be leaving out, it can be based on doubt. There are a lot of factors, and when you combine all these factors, it can be a little difficult to grasp. But you cannot grasp it in one sitting. You have to review. Look at the hadith. I gave you the references in Al-Bukhari and Muslim for more hadith and the other narrations of the hadith that we mentioned, so that you can look at them and read through them and try to compare them so that the issue will be sticking in your mind. Naam. If the Imam left out one rak'ah, he made the prayer short of one rak'ah. This case also is reported. It is reported in the Sahih of Muslim. But that hadith we didn't mention. And if there are more hadith, we didn't mention them all, but I gave you the references for them. In that hadith it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ prayed the Dhuhr prayer as three rak'ah. He left out one, as you, the example you gave now, exactly. He left out one. We said the general rule is what? That if something is left out, then you make the sujood sahwa before taslim. Okay? In this case, the Prophet ﷺ was informed afterwards. He was informed afterwards. So, even though he only made the prayer as three rak'ah, he made taslim, and then he came to know that he made taslim, he went back. And he made the rak'ah that he missed to make the prayer as four rak'ah. And then he made, before making taslim, he made sujood sahwa. Before. Because when something is deleted from the prayer or left out, the sujood sahwa should be made before. And this is a proof that when something is left out, sujood sahwa is before. In that case, he made sujood sahwa before making taslim. Two prostrations, and then he made the taslim for the end of the prayer. After completing one rak'ah. Because one rak'ah was left out of the prayer. Naam. I think you will find this hadith as the last hadith or next to the last hadith in the section of sujood sahwa in Sahih Muslim. The people should follow the imam. But if the people realize the imam made a mistake and they said subhanallah, the men should say subhanallah to bring to his attention that he made a mistake. The women should clap their hands. If the women realize he made a mistake and no one says subhanallah, the women may bring it to his attention by clapping their hands. If the imam realizes his mistake and corrects it immediately, then this is the best thing that may happen. But if the imam doesn't correct it, the people should follow the imam. They shouldn't abandon the imam, but then they should follow him. Okay, at the end of the prayer, he will realize that he made some mistake, but he doesn't maybe know what he made, then he will correct the prayer. If he doesn't, then in the end of the prayer, when he makes taslim, the people will inform him that you did such and such and so, and then he will return to the prayer and correct it accordingly. According to what was the mistake, something added, something left out, yani whatever. But in general, the people should follow the imam. Doesn't mean that if they realize he made a mistake, just leave him going in his mistake, but they should bring it to his attention. If he is able to correct it at that point, it will be corrected. If he is not able to correct it, for example, if the imam, in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up without making tashahud. There are some hadith which we mentioned previously in our previous study of Tafsir al-Alam, in which the Prophet ﷺ said that if anyone stood up forgetfully without reciting tashahud, if they remembered before standing up, they may sit back down and make the tashahud. But if they didn't remember until they stood all the way up and they were standing straight, then they should not return to the sitting position, but they should continue the prayer and in the end make sujood sahwa. So this means that if it was brought to the imam's attention in time, then he may correct it. But if it's not brought to his attention in time, or he doesn't pay attention to the people saying subhanallah, the women clapping their hands, and he just continues in the prayer, as happened in that case with the Prophet ﷺ, the people were saying subhanallah, and he continued in the prayer until the end, and in the end they were waiting for him to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, to make the taslim. At that point suddenly he said Allahu Akbar and made sajda. Then he said Allahu Akbar and raised up and said Allahu Akbar and made sajda and made Allah and said Allahu Akbar and raised up again. Yani he made sujood as-sahwa at that point, and then he made taslim. So yani the people should follow the imam, but they should also correct him if they are able to. If they are aware of the mistake, then they should bring it to his attention by saying subhanallah. No. Can somebody take the questions from the sisters? Anyway, there's a difference of opinion about the forgetting of an ayah. Allahu a'lam. But it appears as though the most correct opinion is that there's no need to make sujood as-sahwa for forgetfulness of an ayah. And if a person forgets the ayah, then either if it's brought to their attention, if it's the imam, for example, the people bring it to their attention by reciting the ayah and correct him. But if you are praying alone and there's no one to correct you, but you realize that you said something wrong, but you can't remember how it is, then you may recite from any other portion of the Quran that you know and continue the prayer. But there's no proof that a mistake in the recitation requires sujood sahwa, that it requires sujood sahwa, and Allah knows best. Are there any additional instances that require sujood sahwa, like for example the mistake of the recitation of Quran? MashaAllah. My brother's already asked this question. If you forget during the prayer how many rak'ahs you prayed, then try to remember and remember definitely how many you've prayed. Do you still have to do sujood sahwa even though you have not added anything? Naam. Yani if a person forgets how many rak'ah they prayed and they try to remember, and then they are relatively sure, yani they are pretty certain that they remember how many they made, still due to the sujood, due to the forgetfulness in the prayer, yani sujood sahwa is the correction for forgetfulness. The person who is in doubt in their prayer about what they have done, even if afterwards they are relatively certain that they have made yani a particular number, if they are relatively certain about that, yani you remember definitely, but of course definiteness, after you have forgotten and then you remember, is not definite, but I mean you are relatively certain, in that case you still have to make sujood sahwa. If you have not added anything, or deleted anything, do it just because of the forgetfulness, then to humiliate shaitan is this wajib? Naam, it's still obligatory to make sujood sahwa to humiliate shaitan. And the sujood sahwa has two benefits. One of them is that it corrects and completes and perfects the salat in which there was some mistake or some defect. And one of the defects in the salat is that you end up praying and you don't know what you have done. That's a defect in your salat. It means that you have been unmindful. The fact that you didn't know how many you did, and then you had to try to remember, means that at some point in your prayer you were forgetful, you were unmindful. That means shaitan has affected your salat, and therefore to correct that defect in the salat, the unmindfulness, and also to humiliate shaitan, the sujood as-sahwa is still obligatory. Allah knows best.